It does not bother people today that the Ten Commandments, because even Christian people today, even the members of the churches today across this land, they do not care about the Ten Commandments because they're not celebrating one God. They're celebrating the God of glory and the God of pleasure. Look where people's at today. There's more excuses to go around to fill this whole world up with excuses of where people's at today. Why not the coming church? They can tell you about all type of excuses, but they cannot get by God. They have freedom because, you see, God was not the one that created this universe. They say, you know what, you just come from a monkey. Evolution is getting God out of everything, and we're celebrating that now of evolution, that there is no God. Celebrating. Now we come to the church members today. Whether they're saved or lost, I don't know, but I'm going to tell you what they're celebrating. They do not care about the things of God this day. It's called Sunday, the 4th of July, the greatest day that we ought to be celebrating across our nation, what God has given us that we might be able to worship God. But I'm telling you, they have no cares for the things of God. They're celebrating that I don't have to do what God says to do anymore. There's no affiliation with people called Christian in the church that Jesus Christ loved today, and they're celebrating that because the world looks down and says, well, you don't have to have a church. You don't have to go to church. That's not what God said. He said Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church. He died for the church. But yet, they're celebrating that have no part in the things of God. There's a different type of celebration, do you not think, across our nation today? Have no love for the things that Jesus Christ loves. And we're celebrating that today, even in the Christian churches. God has looked down upon the United States of America, and I'm going to tell you what, we're in pain. Our country is in desperate pain in our country. Can't you see it? Can't you open your eyes? Can anybody see the pain that we're in our country? Pain. We have put our fingers in the eyes of God. And I'm going to tell you what, God is suffering. Jesus Christ is suffering. As we ask for God to help us, there'll only come help, and that's through Jesus Christ himself. It will not come through the White House. It will not come through Congress. I'm going to tell you what, it'll come through your house and my house and the church house. As we turn now to the verse of Scripture I'd like to read, Ezekiel chapter 13 and verse 6, I'm outlining, there be freedom. If you want freedom, I'm going to tell you there's only one way of freedom. It's not the Democrats. It's not the Republican. It's not this half-quack thing that called a president that squats upon our throne. If we have freedom in our country, it'll be through the pains of Jesus Christ. Whenever people see Jesus Christ and the suffering Savior that he is, that we'll have this freedom. This verse of Scripture is dealing when Jesus Christ comes back to this earth and people see the scars in his hand. There's one thing remains in heaven that man made, and that's the scars of Jesus Christ. The pain. Zechariah is next to the last book in the Old Testament. The nation of Israel at this time, we know from Malachi and also Ezekiel, on through all the minor prophets, is showing that they're going to move through a time that's called the Dark Ages. From Malachi, 400 years of silent, dark years, not a word from God, darkness upon the face of this earth because there was no word from God, there are no prophets from God. Only thing they had was the Old Testament. God did not break through for 400 years, darkness, because the nation of Israel had turned their back on God, they turned their back on Jesus Christ. And like it is today, the church houses now, the people that names the name of Jesus Christ have no concern about the things of God. They're not worshiping God. They're not worshiping the freedom of speech. They're not worshiping the freedom of religion today. They're worshiping the freedom to do what they want to do. And Judges says everybody done what was right in their own eyes. We're there here today. We have turned against God. Even Christians today have turned against God and doing everything in the world they want to do except serve the true and the living God. And we wonder what's happening to our country. I'm going to tell you, God is not going to judge America. God is judging America this very day. It's not going to be 100 years from now when your great-great-great-grandkids see it. It's going to be here tomorrow, and it's here today. We're going under a time that we have never been before. We're going into a dark ages. And the reason we're in dark ages is because we have forgot about Jesus Christ and his suffering on Calvary's cross. We see all the pleasures of this world, but we don't see what Christ has done for us. And the reason that our country is in such a shape that it is because people is called by the name of God. They have went away from the house of God and the people of God, and they no longer see the suffering Savior on the cross of Calvary dying for their sins and the sins for the whole world. All they want to see is the pleasure of the world. What can I get out of it? When I come to church, what can the church give me? I'm going to tell you, it's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. Where is the people today? Where is the people of Pleasant Hill at today? It names the name of Jesus Christ, the greatest day in the world that you ought to be celebrating what Christ has done for this nation today. I'm going to tell you, they're doing what the world is doing. They're celebrating to other gods, and they're worshiping other gods, and they're turned away from Jesus Christ. Now here we have the day. They're celebrating a cross without no blood. Oh, it's easy to come down and say, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ, but don't give me this blood thing. I'm going to tell you, without shedding of blood, there are no remission of sin. They have never seen the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not been applied to their lives. I'm going to tell you what, they want salvation without the Lord. Give me this salvation, but no lordship, please. I want to tell you, there's something wrong. Well, someone says, I am saved, that I am a member of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, and they have no parts of the things that Jesus Christ loves. They want this salvation, but they don't want the lordship of their life. That's what they're celebrating now, that I don't have to listen to this, what we call lordship. I can do as I please. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a hell, but when they speak about hell without a reality. I'm going to tell you what, there's a real place called hell. There's a real place called heaven. And I'm going to tell you, being a church member of Pleasant Hill Baptist Church will not keep you from hell. I'm going to tell you, take salvation with the lordship of Jesus Christ. And then we have people without purity. They say, I come and be saved, but I'm not going to change my life. I'm going to tell you what, that is not salvation. That is not salvation. But not only that, we're falling into an area that we see it right now, that we have a church without compassion. How many names this morning was named in your Sunday school class for people that was not there? How many names was named the people on your church roll that was sick and they need someone to go see them? How many names was named the day that we have visitation when nobody shows up to visit these people? How many people last week did you call and to encourage them to be at the house of the Lord? How many people did you pray for last week and they had some problems in their life and you was on your old knees bowing down and saying, oh God, have mercy upon them and work in their life today? I'm going to tell you what, we got a church without compassion today. You see, but not only that, the devil have saw that we have a Bible without trust. Because there's so many translations of the Bible, they're going to say, well, which one of these things is right? And that is the reason I stand on the King James Version Bible, because once you leave this, there's 100 different type of translations. And every one of them gets a little bit further away from the Word of God. A Bible without trust. How do you know this is the right translation to study? How do you know this is the right translation, the NIV? How do you know the Living Bible? How do you know it's the best translation of what it says? I'm going to tell you today that we have a Bible without trust across America today. They don't trust the Word of God. But you see, we have a Christ without distinction that says, you know, just any old Christ to do. Jesus Christ is just one of the ways. He's not the onlyest way. But you see, whenever we come into a place like this morning, that you know what's wrong most of the time? We're coming into worship without the Spirit. We're coming into worship without the Spirit, and we're just dead men's bones without the Spirit of God circling this place. Unless you come for the right reason this morning, will worship upon your heart to worship Jesus Christ, the living Savior, that we're come this morning without the Spirit. And you know what that produces? That produces a society without a conscience. We don't care about helping other people, not even in our church, much less someone our neighbor's day, because we're raising a society without conscience. They do not care today. But you see, and then we have a ministry without the urgency. I'm going to tell you what, Jesus Christ is coming back before long. There ought to be an urgency in every one of us. I'm the greatest thing that we need to do and understand and turn this church towards evangelism. Every one of us, and every Sunday school class, and every one of us ought to understand the urgency of the ministry that Jesus Christ is telling us is on hand right now, that people's lives lost, and they're on the way to a place called hell, and it's up to you to tell them. But yet, what are we doing in our church today, evangelism? What are we doing for our outreach program today? We'll have a visitation program. Where is everybody at in our Sunday school? We need names. We need people. There's souls that need to be saved. But yet, you see, we have a ministry, but it has no urgency to it of people need to be saved today. The United States is celebrating, but they're celebrating a long thing for most of the people. Zechariah 13 and 6. And one shall say unto him, that's Jesus, what are these wounds in thy hand? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Jesus Christ was wounded by his own. But I'm going to tell you what, he's been wounded in the country that you and I live in today. These wounds of our country, as I said, this prophecy is prophesying that Jesus Christ is coming back one of these days. And his wounds will be able to see his wounds whenever he returns. He says these wounds are because the house was in the house of my friends. Over 2,000 years since Jesus Christ has had these wounds. But you see, they're still there. They're scars today. The scars remains. Oh, doubting Thomas, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, with the scars in his hands and in his side, oh, doubting Thomas, he said, I will not believe until I put my fingers in those nail prints. I will not believe till I thrust my hand in his side. Jesus Christ appeared unto Thomas with his disciples. He says, okay, Thomas, here I am. With my scars, put your hands now in those nail prints and thrust your hand on my side that you might believe. And he says, my Lord and my God, I believe. You know what changed Thomas? He saw the scars of Jesus. You know why we have no change today? Because people have not saw the scars of Jesus in the wounds of Jesus Christ today. A cross without the blood, Thomas knew it was. I believe, he says, I believe. These scars is the only thing that man has in heaven is the scars of Jesus Christ. When he comes, he's going to bring those scars with him next time. He's going to be able to come and you're going to be able to see those scars. The problem and the suffering these scars represent are the pain that Jesus Christ went through. Now, the problem, I'm going to tell you what's in our country. I'm going to tell you the problem of our country. You can listen real close because it won't cost you $1 million. The problem of our country now, many people have never saw the scars of Jesus. They've never saw the scars of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. I'm going to go a little bit further than that. We got a lot of church members at Pleasant Hill that never saw Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. They never saw those scars of Jesus Christ of Calvary. In Matthew 16, the majority of the people left Jesus Christ. Only his main disciples left. And then he began to ask them, who do the people say that I am? And they said, well, you one of the prophets, one of these great men, you're a great man. And this and that, and Elijah and someone else. But you see, that was not what he wanted to ask. He said, now who do you say that I am? Peter said, you're the Son of the living God. Jesus Christ answered him and said, "Well spoken. But I want to tell you something, Peter. Flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, but the Spirit of the living Father in heaven." That I want to tell you something this morning. There's a many a member I'm going to tell you today has never saw Jesus Christ as a living Son of God. They have never saw those scars. They never saw Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary dying for their sins. They want Jesus without no lordship. They want the cross without no blood. They want to be a Christian without distinction. But I want to tell you, until you see the blood of Jesus Christ, and do you see the suffering of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, and you see the scars of Jesus, what he had in his hand, his feet, and his side for you and I, there will be no change in your life. And you'll be celebrating across this land, but you will not be celebrating that Jesus Christ is the Lord God that he said he was. But you'll be celebrating all the other gods they are in our country this day. And that's where people's at today. If there be any freedom, it be freedom through the pain of Jesus Christ. You see what Jesus Christ has done for you. He died for you, and he died for that person that you need to be telling about today, the Son of the living God. The 4th of July, we'll find out that you know that our country is in pain today. Don't you know our country is suffering in pain today? It's an agony. Because we're going to go through a whole lot more than we've ever been through before. Please, God, help us and remove this pain. But seem like God is silent. It's only going to get worse. Why? Maybe God is not able to remove this pain. Maybe God is just so unloving to move this pain. No, God's willing. God's able. But I'm going to tell you what, there's a reason for pain. There's a reason why that we're suffering, why we're suffering in this country right now, and there's going to be a reason why we suffer more than this country than we ever suffered before, the pain. And as it comes on down even to your pain, to my pain, and you might say, why are you talking about pain? Because I just went through some pain. And it's taught me a lot of things about pain while I was looking up facing God. Why do human beings suffer? I've asked myself this question. But there's a greater question than that that come back to me. Why does God suffer? Why does God suffer? He's still suffering. The scars of Jesus Christ in his hand are souvenirs. I know that a lot of us have been on vacation, the Smokies or where we're at, and you always brought back some souvenirs to remind you of where you've been. Well, I'm going to tell you the scars of Jesus Christ are souvenirs to him to remind him where he's been, but also to remind you and me today that where Jesus Christ has been dying on the cross of Calvary, and he died and shed his blood for this country, and he died and shed his blood for every living soul upon the face of this earth. If there'll be any freedom, it'll be through the pain of Jesus Christ. When you see Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, suffering and dying, Isaiah says, "I cry like a woman in travail, labor pains." That he had. Isaiah also said, in all these things, affliction, he was afflicted. In your affliction, God has also been afflicted. In your suffering, God is also suffering. You know, Paul, or Saul was his name when he was persecuting the church. And you know, he met Jesus Christ. Saul, why are you persecuting me? He said, I'm not persecuting you, I'm persecuting the church. Jesus Christ let him know, when you persecute the church, I am the church, I'm the head of the church. And I'm going to tell you, our church is suffering today. The body of Jesus Christ is suffering across our land. It's suffering in our nation today. And if the body suffers, the head suffers. That Jesus Christ is still suffering for his loving bride and his loving body that we have today. We know that Jesus Christ is ahead. It says, you know, in Ephesians 4:30, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Grieving is a love word. The honest one that can grieve you is because you love them so very much. Your neighbor kids can get over and they can vex you and they can make you mad, but only your kids that you love can grieve you. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, because God loves us so much. We have the pain. God is allowing us to feel pain in our country to tell us you're wrong. You're heading down the wrong road. There's something wrong in your country. There's pain in our country. When there's some pain in your body, that means there's something wrong. God bless God for pain, body pain. head receives a message that you have pain. There's something wrong. There's something wrong in our country. Would you say amen? There's something wrong with our country today. It's going through pain. The church is unfaithful to the heavenly bride is one of the pains. It's unfaithful. James says, adulteress, and know you not that friendship with this world is enemy with God? I want to tell you, he is a suffering God. The God of heaven is a suffering God. Real. Well, why doesn't being him God stop this suffering? How could God be a prisoner to suffering? He doesn't have to suffer. But he's a suffering God. God's a suffering God. The God of heaven also is a sympathetic God with the suffering and pain that we have. And Hebrews 4 and 15 tells us, for we have not have a high priest which cannot be touched with our feelings of our infirmities, but was in all point tempted like we are, yet without sin. As we see this, we understand that when you hurt and you suffer, he suffers. Jesus Christ, it said, was moved with compassion when he looked out upon this world. And that compassion means in the pit of his stomach, it kind of made him sick and nauseated. Do you have this compassion today? Jesus Christ with the grave of Lazarus. Short at first, he said that he wept. He cried. Sympathizing God. Why don't Jesus take away the suffering of our country and snap his fingers and everything will be right again? The suffering. Why, when you suffer in these bodies, and I've been through a time of suffering, and I saw a lot of suffering, and God says, listen, pain is my gift to you. Pain is my gift to you. It's a gift for physical pain. I'm going to tell you, it's a gift for spiritual pain. It's even a gift for our country. Did you know a leopard has no feeling of pain? They can walk on glass and cut their feet. They have no pain. Can you imagine if you had no pain? I was diagnosed with 3 bypasses that were stopped up 95%. I had no pain. Nothing but the miracle of God that I went to the doctor and he just said, you need to have a checkup. Never had a pain. Never had a pain. Those of you who had pain in your chest, well, that's telling you there's something wrong. But I'm going to tell you what's even worse than that is for you not to have a pain and you fall over dead. I was in the hospital, and after the operation, I had plenty of pain, but not around my heart. They asked me, how about your pain? I said, I don't have any pain. About from 1 to 10, they says, now, don't wait till the pain gets so bad. It's harder for us to bring the pain level down when it gets bad. I'm not having any pain in my heart. And I went through those 4 or 5 days, and they asked me that. I kept on. I said, well, it's number 4. I got tired of telling them I don't have no pain. I never had a pain in my chest while I was in the hospital. I had plenty of pain of what they done to me, but I had no pain. And that was a type. I am the type. If it had not been by the grace of God, I wouldn't be standing here this morning, because you'll have no pain till you fall over dead. I had no pain. But I'm going to tell you, we got pain in our country. But pain has a purpose, and Lord, let me see that. One thing is protecting purpose. As I said, if I'd had this pain, I'd have went to the doctor before I did. If I had pain in my chest, I'd have went down. Listen, if you got pain in your chest, you need to go to a doctor. I'd have went, but I had no pain. Pain is protects us. You know, whenever you turn your foot and you hurt your ankle, you kind of get you a crutch and you don't put no weight on that ankle. You know why? Because that pain protects that hurt spot in your body. But pain is a protecting part that God has given you to protect that part of you that's hurting, or that part that needs to be renewed. It's a unifying part, too, of our body. That means that one part comes to the aid of the other part of this body. I begin to nurse my chest. I begin to take it easy with my chest. Hit your finger with a hammer and you begin to nurse that finger. Cut yourself on your hand and you begin to nurse that part. Pain is a unifying because it brings all the parts of the body there to take care of that part of that body that needs taken care of. In the physical sense and also in the spiritual sense also. 1 Corinthians 12 and 26 says, and whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it also. It lets us know we have pain. If anybody in our church, the member of the church, I want to tell you, the member of the bodies of Jesus Christ, it lets us know that we need one another. You've lost a loved one, you're sick, your family in a hospital, you're going through some difficult times in your heart, you know what, that's pain. And that allows every one of us in this building to know that we need one another. We are in the body of Jesus Christ, and we need to help one another. For a healthy body, the way it responds to pain is how you tell if a body is healthy or not. Is how it responds to pain. Do we have a healthy church at Pleasant Hill? If we have a healthy church, it will respond to the pains of others. How are you responding to the pains of others? Our visits, the age of our church, the sickness, the death, the broken homes, the young teenagers, the problems. How are we responding? Are we a healthy church? If we are, we will respond to the needs of the other members in the church. Its correcting purpose is also of pain. There was no pain until sin. God says, thorn and thistle shall the world bring forth. God cursed the ground for your sake. Not for your punishment, it said, but for your sake, for your benefit. For our benefit. As I said, the worst thing for you to be sick, be wounded or hurt, as I was, and feel no pain. I was in critical condition without knowing it because I had no pain. I had no pain. And I was in very critical condition. They gave that cath on me and it said, you're 95 stopped up in three of your main arteries going to your hearts, but I can't get to you today. It's going to be four more days. I said, I'll go home. Doctor says, no, you can't go home. You're in critical condition. I walked in the hospital. I drove to Jacksonville. I unloaded feet. I worked a whole week going down there when I was supposed to be already down there. I had no pain. And I'm going to tell you right now, sitting here in the pews of this church, if you have no pain for your brothers and sisters, you are in critical condition. You're in a Sunday school class and you have no pain for those people that's not in those seats. You are in critical condition. No pain. God, I created this world. I cursed with thorns and thistles for your benefit. Now we feel pain, I know, in our society. We live in this generation, but you see, we're not. When we have pain, we do not look for Jesus Christ, but we look for a sedative. You see, we have pain in our country, but we're not looking for Jesus Christ. We're looking to the government to print more money, to extend unemployment, to add on to the welfare. We're looking for our government to patch up every little hole because we're hurting in our country. But we're not looking to Jesus. We're looking for a sedative in our country. And today, for individuals, you see, whenever we begin to hurt, we'll be looking for a sedative, sometimes to use drugs, whiskey, television, pleasures, sports. We look for amusements. museum. You know what that means? You go to amuse yourself, a place that you might be able to think and not think about your problems. We got pain in our country. We have a sedative. Throw money at it. But don't go toward Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you in last of closing, Jesus Christ is a saving God. Zechariah 13 and 6, he said, you know, I was wounded in the house of my friends. Isaiah 53 and 5 says, he suffered sympathizing. He took our pain and the shame and our blame on the cross of Calvary. That's Jesus Christ done for us. Isaiah said, though our sins shall be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow, and be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He's a Savior and the suffering Savior and a saving Savior. The Father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth those that he loves. Let's move on down and see what Jesus Christ is looking down upon us now. Family members, if you say family members, that you're in the family of God. But see, we have a family here today, our physical family. Now, I ask you today, now, if you have a family that's on the way to the hospital, do you want to be with that family? The ambulance has just arrived at your house. They have picked up one of your loved ones. They're headed now to St. Vincent. Do you want to be with your family? And the answer, I believe most of them would say, yes. But can you help them when you get there? No. There's nothing that you can do. My family was around me, and I appreciate my family. Brother Bud and Bonnie went through a long ordeal of being with their family in the hospital. But Brother Bud, you couldn't do anything about it, could you, Bud? You could be there with your loved one, but you can't do anything about it. Mothers and fathers, if you ever had your little ones going off in the hospital room to be operated on, and you said to yourself, if I could just get on that bed, God, if you would allow me to get on that hospital bed and take that operation or take that problem that my child is going through, God, I would do it in a minute. But you say you can't do it. But Jesus Christ says he knows our infirmities. And there is this person, you and I, Jesus Christ got on the cross, my cross. He died for me. He took my pain and my suffering that no one else could take. My daddy, my mother, my brother, my sisters, my sons could not take my suffering for me. I was a sinner, died on the cross of Calvary, but Jesus Christ moved in. He took me off of that bed of affliction. He got in my place, and he done something that, Bud, men, you couldn't do for our families. He took that pain of death and hell away that I might be saved and I might see Jesus Christ one day. In Corinthians 5 and 19, to wit that God was in Christ reconciling this world unto himself, not imputing our trespassing unto them, but have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 and 3 says, blessed be God, even the God of our Father Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of all comfort, who have comforted all of our tribulations, that we might be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherein also ourselves we are comforted. He says, I'm going to heal you now. I'm going to heal you. I'm going to reach down on a hospital bed and I'm going to heal you. You know, everybody don't come through with that operation and live. He said, I'm going to heal you. He says, you're going to have some scars, and I can show you some scars this morning. But he says, I want you to use your scars for a testimony to glorify Jesus. Now, you may not have no physical scars this morning, You may have never had no operation. You may not have a physical scar, but you got spiritual scars. And those spiritual scars that you went through, he says, use those spiritual scars for the glory of Jesus Christ. Say, well, I had trouble. Me and my husband had trouble several years ago, but God blessed us. And we lived through it. Well, the scars has grown up now. Use those scars to tell another couple that's having problems. Well, you know, I got for a while that I didn't want to go to church, and I just thought I might go out and do what I want to do. But you see, God touched me, and he brought me back and let me know how important it was to be in the house of God and have my family, my kids, and my grandkids. Well, that scars help someone else. Use your scars as old Thomas, my Lord and my God. He used those scars he saw of Jesus. There was a soldier in finishing. There was a soldier coming home from war. He come to California, getting off place, and he called his mother and father many miles away. He says, mother and father, he says, I'm coming home. I just got back to the United States. They said, well, good. Rejoice. We're glad, so glad, son, that you're back in the States and you're coming home. But then he asked a question. He said, would you mind if I bring a friend with me? They said, any friend of yours is a friend of ours, son. Just come on. Yes, it'd be nice. But he says, mother, this is a special kind of friend. This friend has been with me in war, and thing about it is, he only has one arm. He only has one leg. He only has one eye. Well, now, mother and father says, well, son, you know that we're really not equipped to take handicaps and take care of handicapped people here at the house. And the phone went blank. Several days later, they received a suicide note. A few days later, the child's body was shipped home. The mother and father had opened to identify their son. When they opened that casket to identify that son, they looked down the face of their son. He had one eye. He had one leg. He had one arm. I believe there's people that's committing spiritual suicide all around our doorsteps of our church. They crippled morally and spiritually by the devil. And they need freedom. It's not a wheelchair they need, but they need Jesus Christ. And if we don't understand the pain that we should be feeling right now, there's something terrible wrong with us. We'll have freedom through the pain of Jesus in our country, in our world, in our family, in our church, in our area, and there will be no other way except through the pains of Jesus. If this country ever gets back where it ought to be, it would be because people have opened their eyes and saw the pains of Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, next week and this Wednesday, next coming Wednesday night, our church house should be full. There will not be a person in this place. It will not make it their business to be praying, seeking, asking that someone will be with them, sitting by them, coming to this church Wednesday night. Our Sunday school ought to be 150 to 175 next week if you have any pain. If you don't have any pain, it will not ever change. Freedom through the pains of Jesus Christ. As we come now to the song we need to sing. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to have the strength to preach your word today. And see the many areas that we need to go and the pain that we're really in. We have a sick body that's hurting. It needs to be hurting for Jesus Christ this morning. Would you come if God has spoken to your heart this day? Salvation, rededicate your life. Be coming to pray for your family members and loved ones. Whatever Christ has put on your heart this hour. Do you have any pain today for your loved ones? Do you have any pain for your wife and your husband, your family, your friends?